All right, how's everybody tonight? That's what I like to hear. Okay, I'm going to need some space right here in the middle. There we go. I like to move around a little bit. I'm not going to dance, but I do like to move. No, believe me, if you saw me dance, you'd be like, he shouldn't have done that, ever. Okay, who needs a Bible? Raise your hand if you need a Bible, and we'll get those to you. You need Bibles because we study them here. If you didn't know that. And does anybody know where you should turn in your Bible tonight? John chapter 3, verse 16. Good job. So turn there. John 3, 16. Anybody else still need Bibles? Biblias? Hey, how's it going? Okay, keep your hand up. Anybody else? Okay, we got everybody covered. John chapter 3, verse 16. Next Wednesday, I'll still be here, but Courtney's going to be teaching, so I'm excited for that. That'll be fun. So let's, before we get started studying tonight, let's open up with a word of prayer. Would you guys pray with me? God, we just come before you and we ask tonight, as we open up your word, that this would be a time that we dedicate to you. That you take away any distractions, anything in our mind that we may be thinking about that's going on later tonight or this week. Any burden that we've been carrying this week, Lord, I pray that tonight, Velocity would be a place where we can release those things. Speak to us right now through your word. Help our hearts to be open and ready to hear from you. And God, we're ready. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you have something to write with hope, which hopefully you do, write this down. How to get to hell. Write that down. How to get to hell. It's right on the bottom of your bulletin if you'd like. How to get to hell. I'm going to give you guys an acronym to help you remember how to get to hell. H stands for harden your heart against God. That's the first step. If you want to get to hell, you need to harden your heart against God. Don't listen at church. Don't read your Bible. Nothing like that, because you need to harden your heart against God. That's the first step to get to hell. The second step starts with E. Eliminate God from your actions and your thoughts. Don't think about him. Don't talk about him. Don't act like Christ, that's for sure. If you want to get to hell, that's the second thing. Harden your heart against God is the first. Eliminate God is your second thing. The third thing is listen to temptation. When something comes your way that you know you're not supposed to do, who cares? Do it anyways. Talk back to your parents. Cheat on tests. Do that thing that your parents always told you not to do. Do the things that God tells us not to do. Listen to temptation. Give in. That's your third way to get to hell. Your fourth way, love yourself above everybody and everything else. Make sure that you are number one priority in your life. Make sure that you definitely don't place God or others above yourself. And make sure having a good time is number one on your list. That's what it's all about. That's your way to get to hell. Now, when I told you guys that I was going to give you a way to get to hell, I heard some of you say, what? And the reason I say that is because, believe it or not, there's a lot of people that think it's hard to get to hell. There's a lot of people that don't know how, in fact. That's why I wanted to spell it out real clearly for you guys tonight. Because some people think that getting to heaven is easy. Everybody's going, you know, I mean, come on. God's a loving God. He's not going to really send people to hell. That's what a lot of people think. And they think that it's really hard to get to hell. Well, unfortunately, the Bible says a lot differently. The Bible says that, in fact, according to Jesus, narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Narrow. It's very small. And yet wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many will find it. So I want you guys to understand tonight that hell is actually a pretty easy way, easy place to get into. You do it simply by following those four easy steps. By going with the flow. By doing what feels good. And if you haven't guessed, tonight's subject as we close out John 3:16 is eternity. Where are you going to spend it? We're talking tonight about a life and death situation. It's very important because some of you don't know where you're headed for eternity. Some of you don't know. And that's why we're going to discuss it tonight, your two choices for eternity. Many of you already know those before I even say them, but we're going to talk in depth about them tonight. But where you can spend eternity is the most important decision you'll ever make. And so you guys need to understand that this message of eternity is something that every one of us needs. No matter where we're at, no matter how good we think we are, we need this message. Because like I said, some of you don't know where you're headed for eternity, do you? Others, you already do. You've made a commitment to Jesus, but you need to be reminded vividly, I hope, tonight, that there are a lot of people out there who don't know. Who don't know Jesus, who don't know where they're going to spend eternity, and we need to remember that it's our job as Christians to share this great news of the gospel with them. Somebody remind me what the word gospel means. Does anybody remember? What is it? Okay. Okay, kind of. The good news. The good news of Jesus. And what is the good news? What is it? Exactly, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. He's alive today. Isn't that great? How many guys made it to the Phil Wickham and David Crowder concert last night? Isn't that awesome? It was great. One of my favorite ultimate moments, the moment that sticks in my mind of the whole concert, was Phil Wickham's last song. He got up there on the stage. He was playing. He was all by himself. I loved it. And he was just worshiping. And he's singing this incredible song about how Jesus paid the price for us and he died on the cross and everything's great. And the music kind of slowed down. Everybody starts cheering. And then this was my favorite part. He looked at the audience still playing and he said, "Oh no, it doesn't stop there." And then he went on to sing about how Jesus is alive and he rose back from the dead. And he's alive with us here today. So we have good news. That we can be forgiven as sinners from our sin and we can spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. But let me kind of fill your minds tonight with some other things that people think about eternity, okay? Some very actual popular beliefs about where people think they're going to end up. Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm sure you guys have heard of them. Back about 5 years ago when I was in school ministry, I met on the weekend, every Saturday for a few months with some Jehovah's Witnesses. They would come over to my house every Saturday. We would sit down and we would go through their little heresy book or whatever it was. And so we would kind of sit down and talk and stuff. And it was good. It was very challenging for me. But I'll never forget. I was sitting down. I was probably this close to this Jehovah's Witness sitting on my couch. He and his buddy that came with him. And we were talking about heaven, and one interesting thing that Jehovah's Witnesses believe is that there's only 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses that will make it into heaven. So I said, "Really? 144,000? Man, that's kind of a small number considering how many people are on the earth." So I looked at him and I said this, "Are you one of the ones that are going to go to heaven?" And I'll never forget his response. You know what he said? He said, "Well, actually, I don't have a heavenly hope. But, you know, it's just great being able to serve God." And I was like, "Are you serious?" I looked him in the eyes and said, "Man, that stinks because I can't wait to get to heaven. It's going to be awesome, you know?" And I was so stoked about it. And I don't think he knew exactly what to say to me because, you know, a lot of people actually don't get too excited about heaven. But I was excited about going to heaven. Of course, he thinks I'm not going to heaven. So he was just kind of caught, you know, he didn't know what to say. But that's unfortunately what some people believe. Mormons, they believe kind of some crazy stuff. They believe that couples married in a Mormon temple will eventually go on to be the rulers of their own universe. And their whole job for the rest of eternity is to make spirit children. Moving right along. Islam, They believe that your final destiny is determined by your actions on earth. What you do determines where you go. Man, that's a bummer because I mess up. I don't know about you guys, but I make mistakes. And if my final destiny is determined by my actions on earth, I'm in trouble. But that's what Islam believes. Hinduism, they believe in reincarnation. We talked a little bit about this at Q&A Buffet for those of you who are here. But we talked about how people believe that when you die, depending on your karma, which basically has to do with your good actions or your bad actions on earth, determines what you will be reincarnated as. And you remember I told you guys that they view the cow as like this amazing, motherly, great animal, you know, because it provides milk and all this great stuff. So they believe that if you're good enough on earth, you can be reincarnated as a cow. That's why they don't eat burgers, because you might be eating your uncle or your grandma or something like that, right? That's what some people believe. Atheism, of course, they believe there's no God, so they believe you just cease to exist. There's nothing that happens, is what they believe. So, lots of different beliefs. Well, tonight, as I mentioned, we're talking here about a life and death situation. This is not something that you could say, well, you know, that's not really what I believe. I'm just kind of going to go with my own thing. No. What you believe on this topic determines where you spend eternity. This is life or death for every person in this room. You have to understand how big this is. For 4 weeks now, we've been kind of listening in on Nicodemus's interaction with Jesus here in John chapter 3. The first week, we listened in about God's love. We started off John 3:16. Actually, this was the second week that we really started into the verse. For God so loved the world. There's no bounds to his love. His love exceeded anything that we had to offer. The next week, we looked at the proof of God's love in that he gave his only begotten son. So not only did he love us, but he acted on that love. And he proved it by the gift that he gave to us. And then we talked about the following week, last week, how, I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, how us loving God works. We talked about the next part, us loving God. And we talked about that whoever believes in him is the key. You have to believe in Jesus. And here's where we close with this verse tonight. We're going to discuss tonight how your reaction to God's love for you determines your eternity. The very last part of that verse, should not perish but have everlasting life. Everybody read that verse with me one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, number one on the back of your bulletins. The most important decision. Now, as I mentioned, a lot of people don't realize how important this decision really is. Sometimes, in fact, we get kind of caught up in smaller, much less important decisions, you know? Taco Bell or Taco Bueno, right? I mean, that's something you got to decide. Girls, hair up, hair down, you know? Guys, guy pants, chick pants, right? I mean, there's decisions. And hopefully you're going to I think we all know what you should choose. But anyway, we have a God that loves us enough that he's given us a choice for where we spend eternity. How cool is that? He said, hey guys, hey, would you like to go to hell and burn forever or spend eternity in heaven with me? You know, God's given us a choice here. And we love choices, don't we? In fact, I read that by 2009, Comcast is projecting that they will have over 800 high-definition channels. Over 800. That's just the HD channels, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard enough for me to choose between the four news channels to watch, you know? But I can't imagine over 800 channels. We went to the... couple of weekends ago when we went with all the leaders up to Denver, we ate at the Cheesecake Factory. If you guys have ever been there, it's amazing. But the hardest part of that whole meal for me is the very end, deciding on the dessert. Because I looked at their menu this week, they offer 33 different kinds of cheesecake. All these toppings and all these things that are in there and just all these things, you know. I know you're excited. Okay. Okay, here we go. So Cheesecake Factory, 33 cheesecakes, all right? It's a lot of stuff to choose from. In fact, if you guys have seen the Sonic commercials, you guys remember they say there's a lot of combinations to their drinks. 168,894 different drinks. That takes all their drinks and up to 6 mix-ins per drink that you can combine to get all these different drinks. We love choices, don't we? That's just the world we live in. But thankfully, there's a lot less choices for eternity than there are for all of these things, than there are for channels and cheesecakes, right? We have only 2 choices. And of course, you guys already know the choices. Option A is what? With Satan. Where? Hell. Okay. Option B is where? With God. Heaven. Okay. So those are your 2 choices for eternity. Look at the contrast that Jesus draws here in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish. Choice number A. But have everlasting life. Option number B. Option letter B. So he makes it pretty clear. Makes our choices pretty clear. And it's up to us to decide. Here's how clear it is. Reject Jesus, go to hell. Reject Satan, go to heaven. And it's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty black and white here. And so let's take a look at a closer look at our 2 options here. First of all, option A, hell. He says that those who do not believe in Jesus will perish. Now, according to one source, it says that Jesus spoke more about hell than any other biblical character. Here he is, the one who came to save us from it, spoke the most about it, Jesus. So let's ask a couple questions tonight. We'll ask first about hell, then we'll talk about heaven. First question is, what is it? The answer is eternal pain and rejection. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've had some pretty painful things happen to me before. As I mentioned, I've broken my nose plenty of times. I've broken my foot. I've gotten stitches a couple times. I read actually about a thief in Germany. He was stealing copper cables because he can go like sell them and cash them in. So he had this whole stack. He was going around stealing these things. Well, they found the man burned to death one morning because he had touched the live copper cable and literally gotten fried to death. In fact, he was cooked so quickly they couldn't even identify the guy except for his hand that was still stuck to the copper wire. And they took the fingerprints off of his charred black hand and figured out who the guy was. Moral of the story, if you're stealing copper wire, don't touch the live ones, okay? Also, another moral of the story, don't steal copper wires. Here's another moral, don't steal at all. There you go, lots of morals. But that's some pretty severe pain. I'm sure we've been through a lot of pain and that kind of thing before. But check out how Jesus describes hell. You can write these descriptions down if you'd like. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, he describes it as unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12. Another one, Matthew 13:42, he describes hell as weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what gnashing of teeth means? Have you guys ever been in so much pain that you just kind of grit your teeth? Oh, that hurts so bad, right? Grinding your teeth. That's eternity. For people who spend that in hell. Grinding your teeth in pain. Matthew 18:8, everlasting fire is how he describes hell. Mark 9:43, fire that shall never be quenched. The worst part about hell is separation from God. That's the worst part. You don't get to spend eternity with God. Instead, you're punished with Satan and his demons. That's what hell is. Eternal pain and rejection. Now, another question. Who runs it? Who runs hell? Who's in charge?
Satan.
Who do you guys think? Lucifer? Okay, here's the answer. God. God runs hell. Now some of you guys are thinking, what? God? Hold on. I don't know about that. This Kevin's crazy. No, I'm not. Let me tell you. Because here's the thing. We always get this picture that Satan runs hell, right? You see cartoons all the time. Check out some of these cartoons. You see cartoons all the time that make it look like Satan's in control, right? In the lower right-hand corner, he's the manager of hell, you know? And it's almost like, look in the upper right-hand corner, he's sitting on a throne, lower left-hand corner too, sitting on a throne with his two demons on the side. And here he is, as if he's in command of hell. Not how it is. Let me give you guys some Bible verses about this. Because God created hell for Satan's eternal punishment. Check this out. Matthew 25:41. Jesus says he refers to hell as the everlasting fire prepared for, not the bad people, but the devil and his angels. That's what hell was made for. The devil and his angels. It wasn't made for us. That's not where we belong. We were made in God's image. But those who follow Satan instead of Jesus will end up punished just like Satan. Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him, God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." God's in charge. Here's one of my favorites. Revelation 20:10, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." I love that. Satan is finally defeated. But you know what that means? Here we just read about this description of hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's Satan too. He's going to be there weeping, gnashing his teeth, grinding his teeth in pain, in unquenchable, eternal fire. Are you catching this? This is bigger than we picture. Satan's not in charge. This is the place for Satan to be punished for eternity. God's in charge. Hell equals eternal pain and rejection, and it's run by God. Let's look at option B, which is the lighter side of the story. Heaven. Jesus, again, back to verse 16, he says that whoever believes in him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's heaven. Everlasting life with Jesus. You can keep a finger there in John chapter 3 if you'd like, but turn to Revelation 21. The very end of your Bibles. We'll read there in just a few minutes. Revelation 21. Heaven is often portrayed wrongly, I believe, much like hell is. In fact, here's some pictures of maybe some ways that you often picture heaven. It's portrayed a lot of times as like a place to grow wings and take harp lessons, you know? Like, hey, man, I can't wait for heaven. Just going to sit around in my cloud all day with my wings and play some harp. It's nothing cooler than that. That's how I want to spend eternity, right? Not. If that's heaven, I don't know, right? But that's what we often think of heaven. That's how they draw it in cartoons. In fact, I Googled heaven this week. I found that there's a website called heaven.com, believe it or not. Heaven.com. You can go there to pray for prayer requests because people from this website email prayer requests to God@heaven.com or Jesus@heaven.com. And then they post your prayer request on this website. Here was my favorite part about heaven.com. You can also play free easy Sudoku puzzles at heaven.com. What in the world does that have to do with heaven? I pray, God, please don't make me play Sudoku in heaven. Please, I do not want any part of that, okay? Heaven.com. So that's how our society views heaven. Harp lessons, sitting on a cloud with some wings, heaven.com, God@heaven.com, whatever. This is how we view heaven. Thankfully, it's a lot better than that, as we'll discover in just a minute. In fact, We'll read part of chapter 21, but you can read all of chapter 21 for a better description, a much clearer description of what heaven is really like. So let's ask the same questions that we asked about hell. First of all, what is it? Heaven. What is it? Well, it's eternal perfection and reward. Eternal perfection and reward. I read an article from 2003. USA Today asked the question, if you could have a lifetime supply of anything, what would it be? What about you guys? Lifetime supply of anything, what would it be? Okay, Jesus. Good, good Christian answer. Now, for real, if I could give you a lifetime supply of anything, what would it be? What? Money? Chocolate? Okay, wait, hold on. Chicken? Money? Red Bull? Excuse me? Pepperoni, yeah. Pizza? Nice. Gatorade? Marshmallow. Didn't you have enough tonight? Jeez. Sour. Okay, good. Okay, here's what some people said. Skinny cow ice cream sandwiches. Here was one of my favorites, because I kind of see eye to eye with this one. He said he would ask for high-speed internet access, so I'd never have to pay $49.99 a month to read my email ever again. That's what he said. Another guy said, Mountain Dew, it's what I drink for breakfast every morning. Can you imagine that? Frosted Flakes, Mountain Dew, right? Breakfast of Champions. Or another girl said, bacon or ranch dressing. Tough call, though. I don't know. I also read, okay, bacon. All right. I also read that a couple years ago, Taco Bell wanted to do a giveaway. They wanted to bless one of the nearby orphanages with a PlayStation 3. And so they did a giveaway that basically said the first person to donate their PlayStation 3 to Taco Bell received a lifetime supply of Taco Bell. Equaling a lifetime supply of stomach aches, I believe, is what would happen. So a lifetime supply sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? You know, lifetime supply of, we could think of a lot of things that we would like in our lifetime. But here's the bad thing about a lifetime supply. It ends eventually. They're also limited. They're not going to really give you all that you ever want. There's limits. And eventually at the end of your life, your lifetime supply ends because you're not alive anymore. So eventually, it runs out. Well, that's what's different between heaven, eternity, and a lifetime supply of anything else. Heaven never ends. Let's check out Revelation 21, verses 4 through 5. Actually, look at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, these words are true and faithful. True and faithful. So heaven lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay, you guys catching this? Okay, let's keep going. Here, forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay, keep going. Good job. Keep going. Keep going. Okay, that's enough. I think we get the point. That's enough. So I think you get the point. It never ends, right? Ever. Thankfully, in heaven, I don't think there will be angels saying forever and ever and ever, because I'd want to slap them. It's like I wanted to slap every one of you. Here's the thing. Never another tear. never another feeling of pain, never another funeral to attend, because God's wiped it all away. Eternally, forever. So what is it? Eternal perfection and reward. But who runs it? God. You guys are right on that one. God runs it. Now, some of you guys were waiting like, does Satan run heaven? Because God runs hell. So, no, God runs it. Revelation 21, look at verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. I love that. God's glory is so bright and so glorious that it lights up all of heaven. How cool is that? We're like, hey, God, where's the light switch around here? It's me. I'm the light source. He is the light. It says we have no need of sun or moon because God is the light. His glory is so incredible that it lights up all of heaven for all of eternity. We have long-lasting light bulbs, but nothing that lasts eternity, okay? That's a large flashlight to light up all of heaven. But that's God. He's the light of heaven, and he's in charge. And it's no wonder heaven is perfect because God is perfect. He wipes away tears. He wipes away pain and death. And he makes everything perfect. Probably the greatest thing, though, is finally seeing God face to face. I don't know about you, but, oh, man, I can't wait for that. Like, to see Jesus, to hug Jesus. I mean, it's one thing to pray to him. It's one thing to read his word, and I love that we can do that while we're here on earth. But, man, when I see Jesus, nobody better be in my way. Because I'm going to be running. I can't wait to see my Savior. It's going to be fantastic. In fact, Exodus 33, verse 20, God said, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. But that verse is done when we get to heaven. Because we'll be alive in heaven with him for eternity. Now, obviously, following Jesus, I hope you guys are catching this, is a life and death situation. It's choosing between the two. And I hope I make it pretty clear tonight which one is obviously the better one. But because it's a life and death situation, because it's this most important decision, our second thing that I want you guys to take home tonight is it requires immediate action. This important decision requires immediate action. I have a question for you. Let's see. We'll start right here. When are you going to die? You don't know? Who knows? When are you going to die? You don't know? Who knows? When? You're going to die today? Really? Man, that stinks. What, are you going to run in front of a bus or something? No, you're not going to die today. What? Okay, but do you know when that? Could you give me like a time frame? You don't know? Okay. Okay, when you die, Josiah? Okay, and how do you know that? You're going to live to be like over 1,000 years old? Josiah doesn't know what he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, right here. When are you going to die? Okay, he also doesn't. When are you going to die? Whenever you die. Good answer. Here's the thing. We don't know. None of us knows. None of us could pinpoint a day that we're going to die. It could be tonight. I hope not, but it could be. It could be years. I'm pretty sure none of us will live to be over 1,000, Josiah, but I don't know. We'll see. It'd be nice if you could choose. I'd probably choose to die at like 130 of like a chocolate overdose or something, you know? If you could really choose. But you can't choose. Check out what the Bible says. Write these verses down. Psalm 39, 4 through 5. Shh, listen. Psalm 39, 4 through 5. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth it will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We don't know how long we're going to live. James 4:14 gives us some insight as well. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? He asks. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. So we don't know. We don't know how long we're going to live. Now, I hope you guys see this, because if we don't know when we're going to die, and this is the most important decision you could ever make, you better not put this decision off. This is not something to procrastinate like the rest of your homework, okay? You got to get on this. You need to understand how important this is. You need to act immediately. It would be like for you guys to understand tonight that this is a life and death situation. And that to accept Jesus, you can spend eternity in heaven. To reject Jesus, you spend eternity in hell. For you to understand that tonight and say, you know what? I don't want to worry about it too much tonight. And leave without making a decision to follow Christ if you haven't already. If you did that tonight, that would be like if you got in a car wreck and you had like severe internal injuries. Bleeding inside, broken bones. You're like, man, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm messed up on the inside, but I look pretty good on the outside. Forget the doctor, you know. Like, oh, I'll probably go some other time. I got lots of homework to get to tonight. And, you know, honestly, like, it's expensive to go to the doctor. I just don't know if my parents can take me. And, you know, my mom's car broke down and since we got in the wreck. And I don't know how we'd get to the hospital. Plus, surgery just kind of hurts, you know. I think I'll heal. I'll be all right. Now, that would be crazy, right? Again, I'd want to smack you and send you to the hospital. I'd load you up in my own car and take you to the hospital. Because you have to make a decision. You might die. Those injuries could be fatal if you don't do something. And as crazy as that sounds, as someone in a car wreck, there are millions of people around the world, maybe some in here tonight, that are doing just that. They're walking around messed up on the inside, full of sin, rejecting Jesus, living for themselves, walking around like everything's okay, and they don't need to do anything. That's a problem. And I hope you guys can view velocity at tonight in a way kind of like a hospital, because this is where hurting people come. And I hope that the great physician, God, can fix your problems tonight. And I know that he can. It's just up to you if you're going to let him. Are you going to let Jesus get into your life and fix your problem? Because every single person lives for eternity. Or I guess probably better put, every person exists for eternity. Because without Jesus, you perish, spend eternity in hell. There's only the two choices. And since there's the only two choices, to turn toward one is to turn away from the other. If there's only two choices, that's the only thing. And so if you turn toward heaven and you follow Jesus, you turn your back to hell and Satan and temptation. But, tell you this, if you turn your back to Jesus, you want to live your own way, you want to do your own thing, you're turning your back to heaven and you're headed toward hell. That's where your life is leading. That's how important this decision is. But you know what a lot of people will say? Hey, don't tell me about hell. Because what I don't know isn't going to hurt me. I don't need to know about all that stuff. Well, maybe sometimes that saying is true. What they don't know won't hurt them. But definitely not in this case. In fact, even God would disagree. He said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Because people don't fully understand and fully grasp how big this decision is. That's the world we live in. And in this case, you know. You know. We've made it very clear tonight, the two choices and which one you should choose. It's a life or death situation. It's the most important decision you'll ever make, and it requires immediate action. That means tonight. If you guys hadn't noticed, our society is obsessed with evil, especially in October, come time for Halloween. In fact, October, I just read some statistics that said that Americans are projected to spend $64 billion on Halloween. Costumes, candy, parties, all that stuff. You know, we see it all the time, especially in October. Ghosts, hell, Satan, vampires, witches, all these things that are viewed as evil, but yet people are investing in them. Here we are living in a world where people are investing in evil. Where are you investing your time? Are you investing it in eternal life with Jesus? Or where are you at? We're going to close in a song. Ryan's going to come up. Maybe we can sing Make a Joyful Noise, because I don't know about you, but for those of us who can go to heaven, I'm ready to make a joyful noise. I'm excited about that. Now, here's the thing. We're going to close in this song, but I want you guys to understand, I know that there are probably some of you here tonight that have never made the commitment to follow Jesus. And you recognize tonight that because of that, you may be on your way to hell. The leaders are going to be around the room. And we want to pray with you. We want to be there for you. We want to show you the way to spend eternity in heaven. Because I want to see every person in this room eternally in heaven with me and Jesus. I'm excited. Let's worship.